How much time till we're on?
Ron, Ron!
What?
We're on the air right now.
I'm ready. Good evening, I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yes, hello to it.
You can't
welcome
open the show like that.
What do you
that.
Mean?
No, we're a neutral party here. We're
you
Switzerland.
Are so unprofessional.
What? We're Switzerland? Yes. Well, you go for the Sharks quite and no, tipped them to win the Premiership. How's that looking now, mate?
Mate, it's round one.
Doesn't matter.
It's round one.
Let's just enjoy this. Welcome to the show.
We've got a lot of Roosters supporters. Okay.
How good was it when they got flogged yesterday? But anyway, we'll get into that real soon. Hello and welcome to it, Sports Day for Monday Night Edition. Scotty Sattler and Matt Rogers here tonight. Their two teams got done badly on the weekend. Your mob. How do you lose to the Broncos?
We're a good team, the Broncos.
At home? No, please, come on.
And it's not how you start, Jason. It's how you finish.
Exactly right.
Hello to our listeners through the Super Radio Network, SEN 1170, SENQ 693 AM in Brizzy, 1620 on the Goldie, SEN track stations who are with us, and of course those listening to SEN Fanatic either via the SEN app or on DAB Plus somewhere around the country. It has been a massive weekend of you know what?
Rugby league.
And geez, it didn't disappoint. Big crowds. Big upsets, great games of rugby league. Gents, how good was it?
Well, I think what it said to all of us is that you need to be on your game, regardless of who you're playing, because any team can beat any team on their day. Mm. You know, we had a premiership heavyweight taken down by what we considered to probably be one of the most, you know, the struggling teams of the season in the Dolphins. We had Brisbane, who didn't have the greatest finish to last year, go down to Penrith and beat Penrith on their home turf. It's
can we mention Parramatta as well, just to upset Stephen Dubbo? How sad is my life when I'm watching that game on Thursday night and the first person that pops into my head is Steve from Dubbo?
Well, you know what? I literally said to a friend of mine, he said, who do I take tonight? I said, I'd be taking Melbourne. I think if, you know, they're both depleted sides. If, you know, I think Munster and Harry Grant get them home. When Munster went off, I thought, oh, they won't win. But he came back and laid on a try, and then Harry Grant scored.
Compound dislocation of his finger, goes off and straps up and gets needled to the hilt, and now missed 2 or 3 weeks. But doesn't matter; they still get the.
They got the points.
They got the points for the first round. Yeah, there's so many standout moments from the weekend. I love seeing Leichhardt full on a Sunday afternoon. They didn't get the result. We've got Justin Holbrook coming on the show, actually.
Shortly,
the Gold Coast Titans had a great win at Leichhardt.
Great
tough
game
place.
To play at. Great,
yeah.
Great ground.
One of the highlights of your career if you play there on a Sunday, Arvo, on a really sunny day, the Wayne Pearce Hill. The Dolphins was an amazing start to a new franchise. To what they did against the Roosters was outstanding. I love seeing Tommy Trbojevic back at a packed Brookie as well. Mm. And love seeing Tommy Trbojevic when he's treating everyone else on the field
with absolute disdain.
Absolute disdain. I loved it. There's a couple of times he got into open space and he didn't stretch out.
No.
He just took a couple of steps and passed it. And that's just him being apprehensive at the moment. As he warms into the season, we'll see the Tommy of old. But, yeah, so many great moments that stood out.
What was your great moment from the weekend? Mine was obviously the Roosters losing. 0457 736 736 or 1300 01 1170, as you say. Justin Holbrook joining us real soon. Great Australian debates. And one of the things you boys are throwing up tonight for us to debate, should have Appy Korosau started against the West Tigers? That did come as a bit of a surprise yesterday afternoon watching that game.
Oh, it was surprised me when I saw the teams come up as the Tigers were walking down the stairs to run on, and I saw that he was on the bench. I thought, oh, what are they trying to do here? They're trying to copy and paste what happened at Penrith at the back end of last year, where they start Mitch Kenny from a defensive point of view, not tire him out, and then bring him on when your opposition is a little bit more vulnerable and fatigued. It didn't work.
And you know, in the press conference, you know, there's always a reason why it happens. But you know, do you think they're going to admit that they screwed up? Like, he's your marquee signing.
No.
He's your strike weapon at nine. And
he's your captain.
and you start him on the bench. Like, I just think sometimes, and it happens, sometimes coaches try to overthink things. It's like, it's not a hard game. Put your best players on the field for as long as they can handle it and let them go and do their work.
See, there is an argument that the first 15 minutes, it's fair to say the Tigers dominated all the ball, all the field position. They were pressing the Gold Coast Titans line, and all they came up with was 2 points from a penalty right in front, drop kick out on the full. So the Gold Coast were great. And the argument is, well, they didn't really need him because they were dominating all the field position. But all that field position they had, nothing against Jake Simpkin. He's a fine young player. But when you've got a marquee player, a blue chip player like Appy on the field, and you dominate field possession and possession like that, you turn that into points.
Yeah, and points are what matters
at
the end of the day. You don't win by field position. You win
by
points.
But we are arguing against a guy who is arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time. So.
Yeah, but... Mm. Does it show that maybe he's been out of the game a little bit too long? Does it show that maybe, gee, I'll learn from that? Is he too proud to say, no, I did the right thing? Or is he, okay, I'll learn from that. That's not going to happen.
So the one thing about Tim Sheens that I know, and you know, fortunate enough to spend some time under him, in a short amount of time, is that he loves to try things. He's not afraid to try things. He's not predictable, is what we love about him. I love the style that they want to play, the Tigers. It's a throwback to when Benji and Robbie Farah and Brett Hodgson and those were there, and it's going to take time for that playing group to get used to that. And I'll go as far to say it'll take them a full season to get used to the style that Tim Sheens and Benji and Robbie want them to play. Well, but it is an entertaining style, but you got to have the players to be able to execute it.
Yeah, and he did back in the day. He had the Hodges and the Princes and the Benjis. But is there too many chefs in the kitchen? Like, are there too many people in there? Like, I mean, Benji knows he's getting the coaching job. How much weight does he throw behind what he wants to do? You know, Sheens, he's obviously, you know, a master coach and has been there for years. It's like, I don't know. I mean,
I think what's unfolding there is just from an image, purely from an aesthetic point of view, looking at the very first time they went to the coach's box and Benji was in the front with a headpiece on, Tim was behind, and so was Robbie, is that it's a little bit like the Wayne Bennett, Jason Demetrio situation the last couple of years, or the last year, most notably at the Bunnies, was I'm going to be the head coach. I'm going to let you drive a lot of the interaction and a lot of what we're going to do. And at any stage, I feel as though you're starting to sort of stray outside the edges a little bit. I'm just going to bring you back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it's probably not a bad way to handle it either.
Yeah.
Hey, you talked about Munster being needled to the hilt. There's a really good text here from Darren from Redland Bay. Hey, Darren, just wanted to throw it out there. Munster needled to the hilt. Is that performance-enhancing drugs? It certainly enhanced his performance compared to not being needled to the hilt. I lean to not because it doesn't enhance what it would have been a normal baseline. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I've always thought about this over the years.
I have too.
I've always thought, we've all played with injections and you get through the game.
And there's no doubt I couldn't have played without it.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, we sound really, very hypocritical now that we're retired and we've been through it. But for many, many years, I've always thought, and it's a really good text, that it potentially is it doesn't enhance your performance because it allows you to continue playing at the same level that you were.
Okay, so he's taken those needles to get back onto the field so he doesn't feel anything, right? Horrific injury.
And I'm saying that's speculative. I'm saying he wouldn't have got through that game without it. But I don't know whether he has or not.
But the Storm wouldn't have won without him there.
Without a doubt. Wouldn't have. Yeah, absolutely.
He's a freakish talent. They needed him. But I'm of the opinion that it's okay because it doesn't, like... as has been said, it doesn't make you better than what you were prior. But, you know, what makes me laugh is people saying, oh, it's so courageous. I'm like, no, courageous would be going back out there without the needle.
Exactly.
Getting the needle is the most courageous thing you've got to think. It's like, it's going to hurt when you give me the needle.
I remember we were playing against Newcastle one night at the Gold Coast and I got split above the eye, went off to get stitches. And Jamie Goddard got stitched. He got cut straight away as well. And he came off like 30 seconds later. The doctor's sitting there about to put the needle in the eye to get stitched up. And Goddard came in and he said, I'm going to go first because I'm dummy half. I've got to get out there soon. I said, yep, absolutely, go for your life. Doctor, don't worry about the local anaesthetic. Just stitches straight into the eyebrow. No needle at all. Oh, honestly, I nearly fainted on the spot. It was horrific to watch.
That's courageous.
Oh, exactly.
That is courage.
Weekly workhorse. I love this segment that Daddy Vass has come up. This is where you blokes throw up a couple of players that that you thought were outstanding, worked all day. So we'll get to that real soon. If you've got one, 0457 736 736. Got the Kia Top 7 coming up from the weekend. What was your best moment from the weekend, Sats? What did you like and not like?
Oh, I love the Dolphins. It goes without saying. You know, 17th team in the, in the comp. And we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, everyone's going, this is a great upset. And it is. It's an amazing upset. But Wayne did this in 1988 with the Brisbane Broncos. Yes, they had a lot of Origin players playing for them. But in saying that, they knocked over the Premiers Manly and put 40 on them as well. Didn't just beat them. They beat them comprehensively. So that was my highlight from the weekend, seeing the 17th team get their first victory in round one. Mine was the return of Tommy Trbojevic. I mean, I loved that, those scenes on Saturday, a full Brookie, and seeing Tommy Trbojevic just doing what he does all around the ball. He just, you know, you could just tell he just missed being away from the game. I love Harry Grant. I love everything about Harry Grant. I love the way that he just iced that game.
I'm just
on
wild about
on
Harry.
Friday night. What I didn't like the Dogs' effort. That was really disappointing.
It was.
Yeah.
Can I ask you two a question? I watched that performance. I know we've been chatting a bit on WhatsApp over the weekend, but is Kyle, I'm just going to say, is Kyle Flanagan a first-grade halfback? To me, he doesn't look like it.
Mm.
Well, he is.
I think they're going to struggle for points.
I don't want to throw the kid under the bus. I mean, he's still learning. He's been around a bit, but he's been bumped around a little bit. He's never really been settled. I think you put the right team around him, and it's about like
he's got some good cattle there, Matt.
You see players in the NFL. They go from one team to another, and they go from being like an average player to a superstar, or from a superstar to being average because the system doesn't suit them. You got to design a. If he's your number seven, you need to design a platform that works for him. You can't expect him to become, a DCE or a Lachlan Ilias that we saw on the weekend. Like it mightn't be in his makeup. So the coach needs to work that out. And if he's not, or you don't want to play to that standard that he can deliver, you need to get a new halfback. That's the reality of it.
I think it comes down to his 5'8". If Matty Burton starts dominating games from a running point of view, and you've got a really running, exciting 5'8" that takes the game by the scruff of the neck, Kyle Flanagan is a really good guiding half that can just get you around the field and just serves the number six and let the six do what he does, like a Jack White or someone like that. But what Kyle Flanagan and every team needs is if you score four, you want to be able to turn into six.
Mm.
And Kyle Flanagan, he can do that.
Right.
So Burton's got to take more control. If he takes more control, Flanagan becomes a really good number seven
for
him.
I'm not sure Matt Burton's got that in his game, though.
Well, he came up as a number six. But I think
he's a
centre. Yeah, he's either a fullback or a centre.
Yeah. And that's probably the challenge. And they've got to get that right. Mm. I mean, they've got time. It's round one, and you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I've often looked at Kyle Flanagan and thought, what's stopping this guy from being the player that we maybe thought he was? You know, like when he was at the Roosters and he started there, like I thought things were going pretty good for him, and then sort of fell off a cliff a little bit, and then he was punted from there, and he sort of hasn't really found his feet since. It's not easy when you're playing in a situation where you're sort of lacking a little bit of confidence. And look, he hasn't gone to a club that's firing on all cylinders either. So,
but there's some good cattle around.
Yeah, there is.
But I'll point the finger. And I'll go. I'm not pointing. I'm asking the question.
Yeah, you're pointing the
because
finger.
Because I've even got mates or Bulldog supporters. Yes, I have friends, and they're not impressed.
Well, they're the last ones you should listen to.
But how about how? Well, no, they're members. You should be listening to the people who pay the bills.
No, because they're biased.
Really. Okay,
and it's like Sharks fans used to just rip Chad Townsend a new one every weekend. Like what? Chad Townsend is a grand final winning halfback for him. The vitriol he would cop online, and then he goes up to North Queensland. Everyone bags him. He goes up there and he's like a god up there now. They love him.
Mm.
And it's like the members are the most harshest critics because they're so emotionally attached to it. They don't look at it through a football.
So no one can be a critic?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No, you can be a critic.
Okay.
But I'm just saying the fans, they're so emotionally engaged that it's hard for them to look at it objectively.
Okay. Can I throw something else? That trial against Cronulla, form was pretty ordinary. As soon as he came off, Reynolds came on. They scored two tries, bang, bang. Why wouldn't you give Reynolds a crack?
Oh, look, he's... That's a million-dollar question.
I watched him play second grade the other day. They were 16-0 down. Josh Reynolds came off at half-time, but he had a hand in two tries in the first half, and they ended up winning the Bulldogs. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit too early to make those judgments. So I think you've got to give the kid a go. And Matty Burton, I think they've got to persist with him at six, because if he gets it right and turns into that Jack Whiten-style running... Running 5'8".
I think that's what he's got to do. I think he's got to just run first, pass second.
Yeah.
And I know his centres probably won't like me saying that, but my centres didn't like me when I played 5'8" either.
Can I throw another halfback at you that I thought was disappointing on the weekend?
Why are you starting off with negativity about the first round?
No, I want to get out.
Get it out of the way.
You two are just all fairies and unicorns. Luke Brooks' performance yesterday. Let's call it what it was. There was times there that he should have taken control, particularly inside the Titans 20.
Well, Eddie is on the text line saying, "G'day, Sats and Rat. Can you please acknowledge how poorly Luke Brooks played? He dropped the ball or turned the ball over with a bad pass four times in the attacking zone. He also made only eight tackles and missed six."
It was a pretty ordinary performance.
Yeah, look, it wasn't great. And they struggled in the red zone, and that's where he needs to step up. It's an important, role of the halfback to put on tries. And, the start of the game when they had a lot of attack on the line, that's where, for 7 minutes, the Titans didn't have the ball.
Mm.
And that's where, I think of having Appy Coruscant on the field, like the difference he would have made.
They look confused.
It just gives your halfback half a step, and that's all they generally need is half a step. And that's why when you've got a potent number nine, it's such a blessing.
It takes
for
the pressure
your half,
off the seven, doesn't it? Yeah.
The mind boggles. But yeah, look, he didn't have a great game.
Did you say bobbles or boggles?
He said boggles.
All right,
boggles.
I'm just checking. Yeah.
Is there anything else? Is there anything else?
Any other
negative news
on?
On
the text. The Knights again.
Yeah, they were good in patches. They were good in patches.
You're the best.
I'm smacking everyone. Because South won, mate. Did I mention that?
I'm not totally off the Knights. They travelled to New Zealand. It's a hard place to win. New Zealand are coming off some good trial form. And I thought in patches that Newcastle were pretty handy. They were never completely out of the game.
Can I say, I thought Kalen, without being blistering and outstanding, I thought he started to warm.
He was solid
to the role later on in the game. And then he was taken from the field with a HIA.
Yep.
Which we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Brett from Nobby says, "My mighty Broncos, their D was unreal."
Mm. Outstanding, Brett.
Wins your premierships.
Yeah.
Defence. And, look, they aimed up.
Good part about the Broncos is that, they faded away at the end of last year. You've got to remember, with about 6 or 7 weeks ago, they were in and around the top four. Mm. But they've got to monitor Reynolds' involvement on the field and whether they take him from the field or at various times throughout the season. But in saying that... a lot of their players are now a year more matured in playing first grade.
Makes
they're
a big difference,
that, they're close
it?
To that 50 or 60 first grade mark where they know their spot within a side. Yeah.
The other thing too, while we're on the sevens, Brian on the text on 0457 736 736 says, "Hey boys, Moses, he reckons, was poor for Parramatta."
Yeah, well, you know what?
It's a scrappy game.
I feel as though
it wasn't a good game of football. It was a tight game.
Melbourne Para.
Yeah.
Did you not like it?
A lot of drop ball. No, the result, it was like high intensity. Yep. But there were a lot of mistakes. A lot of coach killing errors in the last 20 minutes of that game from both sides.
I've got to say, Brian, I think it's just unfortunate that Para came up against Melbourne in round one, one of the best defensive sides historically, who have effort on effort on effort and can destabilise you as a side. I think if Parramatta played a majority of the sides in the comp other than Melbourne with the amount of possession,
probably win pretty comfortably.
I think they win comfortably.
Yeah.
It's just that you came up against Melbourne.
All right, Justin Holbrook standing by to talk to us. Unfortunately, we can't do everything on a good note. Your mate's on the phone. Sats, has he met Rat?
Is he on now?
Yeah.
We've got him on now.
No, your other mate.
Who? Todd Payton?
No.
Who?
old mate from Newcastle.
G'day, Rat.
Oh, Glenn. How are you, Glenn?
Oh, Glenn. Yeah, I've met Glenn.
G'day, Rat.
Hey, mate.
G'day, Rat. G'day, Justin. G'day, Sats. How are we, boys?
Hey, Glenn, what's going on? How's the weekend? What's
mate,
your Monday wrap-up?
I'm going to keep it... Hey, Justin, I'm going to keep it very short, mate, because I've got to get back into the air conditioning.
Yeah.
But given you two, you guys actually reneged on me getting the Wednesday and Thursday gig on our award-winning show...
Yeah.
I contacted my manager straight away.
Seriously, what a waste of time.
Listen, I want to hear what he's got to say.
Keep going, Glenn. I'm taking over from John Aitken on maps.
Yeah.
And also...
We're talking about footy, mate. I haven't got time for his rubbish. This is Sports Day.
Get back in the air conditioning.
Get back in the aircon, mate. You'll be comfortable in there.
Justin Holbrook joins us next.
The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon.